Hey everyone, welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a weekly podcast about lifestyle and healthy eating. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative yet entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
We'll cover everything but the kitchen sink. Each week, we'll discuss topics ranging from how to protect yourself from developing cancer, spicy foods to rev up the libido, to caring for your palliative grandfather with Alzheimer's.
We'll also delve into more complex issues like, what the heck is oat milk? Why doesn't my butt fit into these jeans? And every guy's favorite question, will eating spinach really make it bigger? Join us each week as we strive to educate, enlighten, and entertain you.
Surgery to remove the gallbladder is one of the most common operations in North America. But is it always necessary? And does the root cause, quality of diet, get addressed? Most people don't think about their gallbladder until it gives them grief. The quality of the bile stored in the gallbladder is directly affected by our diets and lifestyle choices. Join Rob and I in our in-depth discussion about fertile females over 40 who could benefit from preventing gallbladder issues. Hi, Rob.
Hello, Sandra. It's going to be a big, exciting episode. What are we talking about?
Bile, gallstones, and gallbladder health.
It sounds really fun.
Sounds, what is gall? The like rude, like the gall of somebody. It's like it cuts you off in traffic. Oh, so inconsiderate.
It's such a funny word. I've always thought that. And I don't know anything about a gallbladder or like it's one of those, it's an organ, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I bet you the majority of people don't really know what it is, where it is, what it looks like, what it does.
Or anything about it until they need to because they have pain or they're having gallbladder issues.
Yeah. So here we are. We're going to tell you guys all about your gallbladders. Those of you that still have them.
Well, that's the thing. Actually, it's the most common surgery in North America is removing the gallbladder.
Really?
Yeah.
The most common.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's 10 to 15% of the population has gallstones and gall problems over their lifetime.
And they've had their gallbladder removed.
No. No, that's just people that have issues with their gallbladder.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it is the most common. So there's 1.1 million people have had their gallbladders removed.
The gallbladderectomy.
But you know, it is like a Band-Aid solution.
Oh, yeah?
Well,
like we don't need to take it out.
We don't need to keep removing body parts. I mean, in some cases, definitely it needs to be removed if there's a stone and it's blocking the bile duct. But I think they're removed probably too often, and I think their root cause, diet, isn't addressed in a lot of the people.
Oh, so you're saying that if you change your diet, you can sort of remedy the issues people are having with their gallbladder, and they won't need to remove it.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's the hard way to do it for a lot of people, though. The easy way is just to cut it out.
That's true.
So yep. That's probably why it gets done so much.
And I think in conventional medical treatment, that's, you know, it's the most common surgery. So it's an easy fix because it's a little bag that the gallbladder sits. It's a pear-shaped organ, very small, that holds the bile.
And it's like a deflated balloon, maybe. Is that kind of what it looks like? Or is it the other way around? I'm just picturing, when you said pear shape, I'm picturing like a little, like a deflated balloon. You know what a balloon looks like before you blow it up?
Right.
Maybe?
I don't know. Yeah, and it stores bile, and it basically releases bile when there's a hormone that tells it to contract. So the gallbladder contracts, and then the bile is released when you have a meal and there's fat in the meal, and the liver makes the bile. But we're getting right into it.
Well, we don't want to do that.
Let's go back a bit because today we're going to talk about what is a gallbladder, what's gallbladder stones, gallstones, and bile, and issues around that, and then the history of the gallbladder and some of the interesting terms about the gall of him or the bilious. And we're going to talk about stats. I think we already talked a little bit about that, and symptoms and the importance of bile and 5 dietary strategies to help prevent gallbladder issues.
I knew there would be a diet connection here.
Isn't there always?
Always. That's why we're here.
Bloating, the symptom of bloating and burping too. Bloating is one of the most common reasons that people go into emerge because they have pain and bloating. And a lot of times it can be an overlooked problem, the gallbladder issues. It's so nondescript where it's like, oh, I've got bloating, and it could mean so many things, like the digestive, you know, the GI tract can cause problems in many different ways. And it's just another symptom that could be so many things.
Right.
So Hippocrates believed that disease resulted from an excess or a deficiency of 4 bodily fluids or humors: blood, phlegm, yellow bile, and black bile.
Hmm.
And then the person's disposition or their...
like their personality?
Yeah, was related to these bodily fluids. So blood represented cheerful and confident. Phlegm was calm and not easily excitable. Yellow bile was easily angered. And black bile was melancholy.
You know, that all makes tons of sense.
And then people have a mix of all of those.
Man, what a crazy world, eh? That's some weird. Well, I guess we probably have some weird stuff that we talk about now too, but it doesn't seem weird. It won't seem weird until about 300 years from now. And then they'll go, man, those people back in the 2020s or whatever we're calling this time. Yeah.
So, and it was the late 19th century where gall was termed, it was something vexing or irritating, irritability. And it's related to bile, which is a bitter, greenish, brown, alkaline fluid that aids digestion and is secreted by the liver, and it's stored in the gallbladder.
Oh, there you go. So that's kind of where the words came from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm. And people that have issues with their gallbladder, in medical school, doctors learn the 5 Fs. So there's people that have the risk factors. It's 5 Fs. So female, 40, fertile, fair, and fat.
The 5 Fs.
Yeah. So there are people in those categories are more at risk for developing gallstones and gall sludge and issues with their gallbladder. Partly because females have estrogen, and so it is a hormone related issue if they've had kids. And so they have that estrogen and overweight. So people that tend to be overweight and maybe have higher fat diet and low fiber also have more risk factors.
Right. Okay. And then the other one was fair, like fair skin, do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
A big one also is rapid weight loss. So people that have been on a crash diet or some sort of they've lost weight for whatever reason quickly.
Right.
And then they're more at risk for gallstones. And actually, people that have gastric bypass surgery might have issues with developing gallstones after. And sometimes they just remove the gallbladder when they have that surgery.
Oh, just like as a preventative measure?
Yeah, a preventative, or just if they've already had issues with their gallbladder and then they remove it at the same time.
Right.
Because they're already in there. Also, women that take hormone, hormone replacement therapy or birth control pills, actually pregnancy, there's a risk factor for women who are pregnant, and also cholesterol medications.
Wow, yeah.
So there's quite a few risk factors that can create the conditions for gallstones to form. And that's basically like hard pebbles that are formed in the gallbladder when the bile hardens. So it doesn't go from like no problems at all to having gallstones. It's usually there's this trajectory where you start having bloating and symptoms like maybe burping, maybe your stool changes. So you might have clay like stool, or it could be that you're maldigesting fats. And you also might notice that your stool floats, or you have like an oil slick in the toilet because you're maldigesting fat. So you're not absorbing the fat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that happens with other issues like
pancreatitis. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
There you go.
So usually what happens is the gallbladder can develop sludge. So it's like gall sludge, they call it.
Right.
And that's before you develop gallstones. They usually find the gall sludge when there's an ultrasound for some other reason. So you might have some reason for an ultrasound and then they notice that, oh, there's stones or there's sludge.
Oh, interesting.
And so it might be a good idea at that point to start to be proactive before the stones form, like if it's sludge.
Right.
And that's when you can actually kind of change your diet and kind of get to the root cause.
Right, right.
Instead of just having that gallbladder removed.
Oh, there you go.
So we need bile to digest fats.
Like that's its job?
Yeah.
And it's secreted, it's produced by the liver, stored in the gallbladder, and then it's secreted when you're digesting fats.
Exactly. When you're having a meal, then yeah, it's the gallbladder is...
Like pulsing or
contraction.
Contracting.
Yeah, contract. The and then a little bit of bile comes out, and that's an emulsifier. So you think of a detergent, like it breaks down the fat for absorption.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that's why if you notice that your stool is floating, or if you have an oil slick in the toilet, then you're probably malabsorbing fat and it's not getting into where it should go, and you're losing you lose your fat soluble vitamins. You can become deficient in all those fat soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K.
Right. Okay.
So people that are even taking vitamin D, they might still have really low vitamin D levels.
Absorption.
Yeah. Because they're not absorbing that vitamin D.
Huh.
Yeah.
So you really got to pay attention to this stuff.
Well, that's why I'm always...
I'm going to have to start pooping with the light on.
You're funny.
I put my headlamp on when I go into the bathroom. I'm just doing a bowl check in here. I'll be out in a minute. Seeing if it floats.
So bile, you know, it's funny how it's such a negative connotation, and the gallbladder is like, it's irritable, and it's, you know, the gall of the person, and bile is like, you think of bile as that it's awful taste, because, you know, I'm sure when you vomited at some point, there's just bile, like when you're vomiting so much that's all you end up tasting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually a really super important fluid in our body.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because without it, we can't digest the fat.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. So it's like, it's super important. It's like a detergent, as I said, like an edible detergent. And it's what it's made of is 95% water.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of like the human body, right?
It's a big percentage of water. So that's part of the dietary strategies is fluid. Like you probably, someone who has gallbladder issues and bile issues, maybe bile sludge, fluid is a big consideration to increase the fluid.
Right.
But the other 5% of bile is made up of bile acids or bile salts.
Okay.
And bilirubin, which is the byproduct of or the breakdown of red blood cells.
Bilirubin. He was my neighbor when I was a kid. Lived down the street. We used to play street hockey together. Bilirubin. I haven't seen him in years.
You're funny. And then the other thing is the 5%. So bile acids, bilirubin, amino acids, enzymes, steroid hormones like estrogen, glutathione, cholesterol, vitamin D, B vitamins, toxins. So in the bile, your body is getting rid of toxins, heavy metals, mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, xenobiotics, medications and drugs that you might be, medications that you might be taking, and drugs and carcinogens. And so the bile helps to pull all these toxins out of the body so that you poop them out, and it detoxifies the body. So that's why the bile is so important.
Oh, interesting. What about all those other things you mentioned, all the vitamins? Is it, it's getting rid of that stuff too after it's...
And it recycles.
I see.
Yeah. And that's the problem, like with, so bile deficiency, some people have a bile deficiency, like they don't have enough bile. And that leads to vitamin deficiencies, like the ones I told you, the fat-soluble vitamins.
Right.
Which are what?
A, D, E, and K.
Yes. Awesome. Getting... You'll remember that, but fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K.
A deck.
Excellent.
That's what it spells.
Yes.
A, D, E, K.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So... hormonally, the body treats estrogen the same way as it treats contaminants. So we want to get rid of the estrogen, like we have it in our body, and then we want to get rid of it through the bile, through the poop, like excrete it.
Right.
So having like PMS symptoms and lots of issues with PMS may indicate that you're not effectively clearing your estrogen. So you, if you have migraines around your period or mood swings, weight gain, bloating, acne, your estrogen is circulating and you might not be clearing it as well as you could. So that might be related to your bile health and your diet.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. All those symptoms are related to...
PMS.
I know, but related to the estrogen in your body.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And I don't know if we've talked about this on another episode about how important fiber is to help get rid of the estrogen. Like we eat fiber and that actually pulls it out of our system into our gut and into our bowel, and we excrete it that way too. But the same with the bile.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And people with, there's also a connection with thyroid. So people with hypothyroidism, so the low thyroid action, are 7 times more likely to have poor bile flow. So they're not, really? Their bile's not working very well, and it affects the hormones and thyroid also.
They should be one of the Fs, the 5 Fs and an H. Remember the Fs at the beginning?
But what's the F?
Well, there was the 5 Fs, and the H is the hyperthyroidism.
Hypo.
Hypo. Yeah.
It's a sluggish.
So they need to add the H. If you said they're like.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Now you
it's like
caught
a factor.
Up to me.
Okay. Well, bile also lubricates the GI tract, and so it helps to set pace for motility, for like your bowel function, and so. Constipation can be a sign of deficiency of bile or not getting, like having a good quality bile. So if you're kind of sluggish, and that's what happens too with hypothyroidism, is you could have like kind of sluggish stool or like not regular bowel movements.
Yeah. You said the quality of the bile. Is that something that you can change through your diet, I presume?
Exactly. Do you remember how I mentioned, I know it's only 5% of the content of the bile, but bile acids, the bilirubin, which is the breakdown of the red blood cells, amino acids, enzymes, estrogen, glutathione, cholesterol, vitamin D, B vitamins.
Yeah, there was tons.
Yeah.
You were just rhyming them all off. So
yeah.
That's how the diet... that's the factor. That's how the diet factors in.
Well, it helps to
create healthy bile.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. But no, there's other ways that the diet can impact the gallbladder and impact the prevention of stones and prevention of gallbladder attacks, as they call them.
Right.
And helps with preventing the sludge or like kind of reversing it, like so making the quality of the bile better.
Right. So issues with the gallbladder are, they sound like they're related to the bile versus the actual gallbladder. Is that
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So it isn't really anything to do with the gallbladder. It's just what's in the gallbladder that's having the issue.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people think, oh, it's just like the appendix, you know, gallbladder, whatever. Just, it doesn't do anything. It just stores bile. But actually, it's pretty interesting because there are health issues for some people after getting their gallbladder removed. And it's called post-cholecystectomy syndrome.
Is a cholecystectomy the same as a gallbladderectomy? I like that one better.
That's
my version of it. The gallbladderectomy. It's easier to remember and fun to say.
So what would you think that happens if you don't have a gallbladder and you have a meal? Then what about the bile?
Well, the bile's probably just like running loose. Like it's not controlled because it's still made by the liver, right? So your body will still produce it, but it's just like when you leave the cap off the toothpaste. That's how I picture when you said the bile just kind of squeezes out like a little bit. I pictured toothpaste. So it's like when someone leaves the cap off the toothpaste and it just gets all over the place.
I like that analogy. That's
perfect.
You
like that?
Oh, I do.
There we go.
Exactly. That's actually the number one problem is the bile just goes into the intestines whenever.
Exactly.
Like, so it's not like gallbladder is a little bit of a, like it's because it's storing it and then it contracts.
It controls the release of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
just,
with
just
the
like
hormone,
your toothpaste
the CCK. But yeah, exactly. And then also what happens is the bile becomes different, like just like the toothpaste cap, or like you said.
Oh, it gets all crusty and like its consistency probably changes because it's not in a proper storage vessel.
Well, and some people find that they have trouble digesting fats after they have their gallbladder removed, or they could, again, have deficiency of those fat-soluble vitamins.
A, D, E, and K.
Awesome. That's great. They also could have bile acid diarrhea, where it's just kind of...
That sounds nasty.
Well, it's chronic diarrhea, and it's related to just bile going in there. And then the GERD also is a possible symptom after you have your gallbladder removed. You could have... gastroesophageal reflux disease, nausea, vomiting. It can affect the microbiome, and then that could create inflammation in the gut, and then you get that autoimmune condition and, you know, the chronic inflammation.
Right.
Or you might have to be on medications for long term, like medications for reflux, medications, bile acid sequestrants. So that would help with that diarrhea that you might be having, or digestive enzymes to help break down the food.
So these are all potential side effects of having your gallbladder removed.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Yeah, that's right. So, and then some people, there's no issues. Like they have their gallbladder removed and then they just get along fine without it. And it's not a problem.
Right. I bet they miss it though. It's part of you that's gone.
You're so funny. So also having good bile health, the bile salts in that bile, it helps modulate the rest of the gut. So it's, you know, gut health. So the, like, as I said before, bile lubricates the GI tract. And so it helps with vitamin D receptors in the gut, immune health. It helps with the vascular function. It helps with having a gut barrier or reducing the likelihood of leaky gut. It helps with metabolic health and how well you, with your insulin and inflammation. And remember episode 19, we did all about anti-inflammatory diet.
Right.
And having gallstones and having problems with the gallbladder and bile are very closely related to fatty liver.
Oh, really?
And remember episode 39, we talked all about fatty liver and putting your liver on a diet.
Right.
Well, with those ideas that we talked about at the end of that episode, it's similar to how you can help with your bile, help your bile health and preventing gallbladder issues.
Right. Well, I guess it makes sense. It's related to the liver and the gallbladder and then bile is created in the liver and all that. So
yeah, exactly.
Keeping your liver healthy is going to keep your bile healthy, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see the little picture. I know you could probably, it's hard to.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Artist, but it's got the picture of the liver, which is like big. And then the gallbladder is that little pear-shaped bag that holds the bile. And then there might be these little pebbles in it, which are the gallstones. And if they get caught up in the.
In the exit?
In the bile tract. What is it called? The common bile duct. So that's what happens if you have a stone. And if it gets lodged somewhere it's not supposed to be, that's when it can be really serious.
Yeah, I bet. Because it's a little stone of bile, which is not something you want getting lodged in the wrong place.
Yeah. And it's a lot of like cholesterol. So that's the thing. Like when I said that people that are on a higher fat diet, I did mention how there's more and more kids that are having their gallbladder removed.
Really?
Yeah. The incident of gallbladder attacks in children are increasing, and it's related to fatty meals, high meat intake, and fried foods.
That makes sense. Fatty liver diet, right? I mean, it's the diet that's, yeah, going to give you fatty liver.
Yeah, yeah. So. And then the gallbladder attack because of the bile and the health of the bile.
Right.
That's why the bile is so important. It's actually more like a modulator. Like it's like a hormone almost because it's got so many important
functions,
elements in it.
Right.
So we have 5 dietary strategies to improve bile health and prevent gallbladder issues.
Awesome. That's what we've all been waiting for.
Right. Okay. Well,
here it is.
Some of them are Fs, the first two.
Fried food.
You're so funny.
No.
That's actually, well, you're right. Okay.
No, I'm not. We don't want to get people confused. No fried food.
Exactly. That's on the no, like the limit.
Yes. Don't eat fried food.
Okay. Number one, let's revisit this. Fluid is really important to have a good quality bile is just to make sure you're drinking enough fluid. And I think, didn't we do a episode on fluid?
On water. That was back in the summer. Yeah. I just remember the little social media picture we had of the guy drinking out of a fire hose.
That was funny. I like that. That's right. It was called hydrating.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's pretty important that I think a lot of us probably don't drink as much water every day as we should.
Episode 26, it was all about hydration and getting enough fluids.
Yeah, because all your body parts need water.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, the bile is 95% water. So it's a really key ingredient to digesting our fats.
Yeah, for sure.
And the next one is fiber.
Fiber,
yeah. And we did a whole episode 17 on fiber. And with that is the prebiotics. So that prebiotics are in their nature plant foods that have fiber. And they're the good bacteria that help with gut health. And some of the bacteria, actually, they really like the red polyphenol foods.
Okay.
So think of some of the red foods that we sometimes eat that are these little gut bacteria love.
Like red peppers, radishes, apples, beets. Oh, there we go. Ding, 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 ding.
Pomegranate.
Oh, that was the next one I was going to say.
Dark cherries.
Oh, yeah, yum.
Raspberries. So all those like red foods are really good for those prebiotics that are helping with the gut health and to help with the whole system.
Right, right.
The next one's really important, bitter foods.
Bitter foods for your bile.
Exactly. Well, bile, exactly. That's what we should call it, bitter foods for the bile.
Mm-mm. Make your bile smile.
So I think we're in a society that we really like sweets.
You think?
And sugars. And a lot of our tastes go to sweets and sugars and candies. And bitter is not a flavor that we tend to eat or tend to be attracted to.
Yeah.
but it's really good for us.
Okay. Can you give us some examples?
Like dark leafy greens.
Okay.
And arugula.
Oh, I love that stuff.
And watercress and radicchio and dandelion and beetroot. Those are all bitter foods. Or coffee.
Yeah. So dark chocolate's bitter too.
Cacao.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Dark gotcha.
Exactly. So the thing, what's happened in our society is we make the chocolate white chocolate, so it's like really like overly sweet. But then you lose all those benefits.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then coffee, you make it double. And then so you lose the benefit, actually. You got to taste the bitter to help the bile.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about fried foods, and that's what we want to reduce, the fried foods and the animal fats, like the saturated fats, like the cholesterol, because they have
like meat and all that.
Yeah, because they have cholesterol, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. We also want to make sure that we're getting enough calcium-rich foods every day. And I think in episode 21, we talked about plant-based yogurts. So that's a source of calcium. And also episode 1.
Oh, the milk episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the plant-based milks. So having 3 servings a day of some sort of calcium-rich food is really important to make sure you're getting enough calcium, dietary calcium.
Right. Okay.
And I think episode 18 was all about calcium and our bones.
The bones, them bones. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. And back up a little bit, the animal fats and saturated fats and fried foods and all that. Episode 23 was all about fats, grease, and oil.
Exactly.
How many have we gone over? 4?
4 what? 4
dietary strategies?
I lost count.
Yes. I think it's been, you know what? Choline is one that I really want to mention because it's interesting. You know, eggs have a good source of choline. They're a good source of choline. And a lot of people don't get enough choline in their diet. You get it in almonds and navy beans. There's some in beef too. But in the word lecithin, it comes from a Greek term for egg yolk.
Really? Lecithin does?
Yeah. And lecithin is like an edible detergent. It actually helps break down those fats so they're smaller so then you can digest them.
Interesting.
So lecithin is our body makes it, but you need to have choline in the diet to be able to make the lecithin.
Hmm.
And you can get it in egg yolks.
Well, there you go. And that's good for your bile?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just like, it's the edible detergent.
Oh, right. Okay. Gotcha.
And the other last few things, green tea is important for bile health, ginger, turmeric, omega-3 fatty acids.
Right.
Vitamin C and apple cider vinegar is helpful.
Nice.
So, yeah. So the last, I just want to wrap up 5 dietary strategies to improve bile health and prevent gallbladder issues is to get more fiber, get more fluids, and with the fibers, the prebiotics, the good bacteria, have more bitter foods,
okay,
more calcium, and reduce those fried foods and animal fats.
Right. That sounds like, that's a common advice every week, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get us wrong, we love our meat. But there's definitely, it's good to know what you're eating and the effects it's going to have on your body. So,
and portion is moderation, I think, is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, that was eye-opening, I'd say. I learned a lot. I got to know my insides intimately somewhat more. I got a better picture of what's going on in there.
And hopefully you won't have to know about your gallbladder because hopefully you don't have issues and you won't have to know about this at all.
Yeah.
But talk to your doctor if you're having any issues, any pain or symptoms that you're wondering about. You might need medical advice.
Yeah, it's good to stay on top of this stuff before it becomes a bigger issue. Awesome.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, hopefully everyone learned something new today and all about your gallbladder and your bile and your inner bits there. So yeah, as well, like we always say, don't forget to check us out online on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, our website, mywifethedietitian.com, email mywifetherd@gmail.com, and don't forget to rate and review the show. We love getting those reviews. The ratings are pretty easy. It's just a button you push, and it really helps us sort of get better feedback in the ratings. That's kind of this game you have to play to get yourself recognized by the powers that be. So yeah, help us push it out there. Okie doke. Well, have a good week, everyone, and we will be back next week.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode. Thank you.